evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adesk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. I can't believe it's...
2017.
I can't believe we're past the 15th of January. Half the month is gone. It's like...
I can't believe we're past the year 2000. It seems to me like that should still be somewhere in the future. You know, I feel like it's, I don't know, we got another 10 years to go to the year 2000, and here we are, 2017.
I know.
I don't know.
It's just bizarre, and...
I think it's the government is running the calendar as well as the economic statistics. I think they're cooking the books.
So maybe this is really only 2000 and...
Maybe it's still only 1995. Only the government has fooled
to be
us.
That, or we'd have Bill Clinton as a president. So we can't be in 1995. Mm. Although, you know, and he was just as bad as Obama. But you know, few people remember just how bad he really was. But
that's because he was more. Well, it's hard to say. Which one do you think was more entertaining, the Clinton follies or Obama's? I don't know. I mean, gotta admit, Obama has been a colorful candidate. Right? Not even sure whether he was born in this country or Kenya. Doesn't seem to have a birth certificate. Is he a Muslim? Is he, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of questions about Obama.
Is he married to Michelle or Michael?
I understand.
Don't know. Puzzling times.
I know. And the day is coming. We'll look back on Obama and think he was a traditionalist. A conservative, because at least he married whoever it was he was living with. And we're going to have the first, or we're done, we'll have presidents with the first, I don't know, the first pal. Instead of the first lady, we'll have the first pal. As in palimony and whatever.
There's certain,
we'll watch and see. The world is just
tell you what, in the last 8 years, there's been a lot of firsts. You know, first, and not that this is a negative, but a first black. We have a first president with, you know, just what you mentioned.
The first Kenyan.
First Kenyan.
Yeah.
Now we have the first lady born outside of the country. We've had other business people as presidents, but not in modern times. So I could say a first for having Donald Trump as a businessman. There's a lot of firsts, but...
Yeah, I understand. It's like Melania or whatever her name is, Mrs.
Melania.
Trump. She's not like Mamie Eisenhower. You know, I don't know how many people are old enough to remember Mamie Eisenhower, but she was this little petite woman in a little dress and dress, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know.
Post.
That was a traditional. That was a traditional housewife or whatever. I'm not sure. She was... How would you explain... Mrs. Trump to Mrs. Eisenhower.
Mrs. Eisenhower did not pose naked.
Yeah, I understand.
Sorry,
probably took a shower with her clothes
really
on.
You know, Looney, I mean, it really is the Looney Tunes.
I understand. And it's getting, and it's not, look, it doesn't look like it's going to stop. You know, if we said it's gone this far, but now the Trump's in, we're done with all of that. Well, we'll see. All right, maybe we are. I don't know, but.
Well, let's see what gold did today. A little pressure was up nice. You know, we had a high of 1217, down $12 today at 1205. Still not a bad day for gold. Silver was down 14 at 1714. Platinum was down 14 at 965. And palladium was down 2 at $751. USDX today was higher today, 0.92 at 101.22. Crude oil was down 1.16 at 51.32. And it was just another one of those days I didn't have the opportunity to follow the stock market, so these numbers will be new to me. The Dow, down 22 points at 19,804. The NASDAQ is down 16 at 5555.66. You know they got to make up these numbers. You know they do. You know, numbers mean something. And when you see numbers sometimes, it's just like, yeah, you know, somebody's playing a little joke or sending a message or something. 5555.66. up.
Maybe it's a phone number.
Could be.
You know, like you can't. It's you. I'm dialing 555-1213. Right, that, then it doesn't. That number doesn't actually work. See, the 555.
The Nasdaq was up a little over, almost 17 points. The S&P was up 4.2271. 10-year yield 0.06 at 2.39%. The euro was, of course, down 0.70 at 106. Wilbur Ross deceived by undocumented household worker. How can you be deceived by undocumented household worker? But, you know, I guess it's no big deal. But
well, tell us who Wilbur Ross is.
Pardon?
Who is Wilbur Ross?
You don't know who...
Is he the new president or something? Did he replace Obama when I wasn't paying attention?
Wilbur.
Mm-hmm.
Wilbur.
But I can understand how. Yeah. Mr. Ed might be deceived by an illegal alien or whatever it is, an undocumented worker. I'm just curious, who was Mr. Ross and how was he deceived?
Well, I just saw the headline in there. I didn't really follow it because
Bad Serape or something?
He's Trump's cabinet for Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, that's good. We're getting people in there that can be fooled.
No, is he Treasury Secretary? Or
I don't know.
I get Mnuchin and him mixed up.
I don't know who Wilbur Ross is. That's all.
Mm. Really?
But if he's going to be Treasury Secretary and an illegal alien can fool him, this is not a good sign. This is one of the things that say, well, the roller coaster ride is not...
Secretary of Commerce.
All right, Secretary of Commerce.
Secretary of Commerce for Mr. Trump.
Okay.
So there. I just couldn't recall. Mnuchin would be the Treasury Secretary.
I thought Mnuchin was one of the people in the Wizard of Oz. Short people.
You know, I bet we need to get a little serious.
That was a munchkin.
I bet the listeners are probably praying that we get onto something just a tad more.
Maybe not.
A little serious.
Maybe not. You don't know, Melody. They might not. I'll give you something that's a little bit serious. Gold, even though it's down 12 bucks today, it's up almost 14%.
Yes, it is.
Since January 1st of 2015, meaning that it's been rising on average a little over 1% a month for the past 13 months.
In 2016.
Yeah, 2016, excuse me. Yeah, 13 months, it's up about almost 14% in the last, and we're not even 13 months done here. 12 and a half months, it's up close to 14%, which is, you know, what are you going to say? It's good. Close to 14% a year, not bad.
But we do know that in order to help the trade and so forth, we need a weaker currency. The U.S. currency is now around 7% above its four-decade average. You have a 22% appreciation since the mid-2014. Certainly, it has worsened the trade deficit. And, you know, I was reading where the full effect of the stronger dollar hasn't even yet percolated into the real economy. So we do know that Trump will want to lower currency. It's just a matter of how are they going to do it. And I was just reading about the various different ways that they can, you know, approach in lowering the currency. And I do believe this is what they have been doing. The Treasury Department, along with other central banks, they do bring down and are driving up the dollar for a very long time, and most recently in 2011. And it was all to help curb the appreciation in the yen. And so I do believe they do this. And so you also have a lot of other types of intervention in these currencies. In the currency markets, there's $5 trillion exchange hands every day. So, you know, we really don't know. But certainly
well, that's
the number...
for sure. We really don't know.
You know, that,
I mean, they give us some numbers, and again, I don't know. We have to wonder, are these numbers accurate? I mean, can they even be negative? How much can we know? This thing is so big, so enormous, so complex, I wonder if anyone really has accurate numbers at any given time.
But the whole point, the system is working on these inaccurate numbers. So that's the numbers that we have to go by. Well, are they real? Or no, they're certainly not free market. And certainly the government, and this is what I've been saying about the stronger dollar that we've been seeing in the past, you know, several years, is that it's a concerted effort with central banks for one reason or another, which they don't release. And, you know, this one particularly had mentioned, specifically had mentioned the appreciation in the yen. So that's what they do.
There's a bunch of theories on what's going on here.
If you can't figure it out, it's because the central banks are in it together and they're manipulating the various currencies. But what we also, there was one report that came out today. It is the consumer prices. They rise for the fifth month. And the CPI, it's one of the broadest of three price gauges from the Labor Department. It includes all goods and services. About 60% of the index covers prices the consumers pay for services, and it ranges from medical visits to airline tickets. But the cost of living in the U.S. climbed for a fifth month on the back of shelter and fuel prices. And, of course, it is pushing inflation a little bit closer to the Federal Reserve's goal if you use their numbers. The consumer price index rose 0.3% in December, matching the median projection of economists. Let's see what else it says. Prices were up 2.1% from a year earlier. This is the most since June of 2014. And excluding the volatile food and fuel, the so-called core measure rose only 0.2% from November. So you have energy moving higher, you have rents moving higher, you have medical costs are continuing to rise. So you have price pressures. It's gaining traction. And it's, I don't believe, and when I talk about disposable incomes, and like I said, everybody's cheering that wages are increasing. Well, really? Disposable income isn't. You might have a penny or two tacked on to your wages, but you know, is that able to go to disposable income? Well, I guess you could call it disposable income if you call it rents and medical costs and other things.
Food.
That actually, food prices were unchanged for a sixth-month.
Yeah, but energy, still you got to pay for it with the extra pennies.
Yeah, it's still high. Energy costs increased 1.5% from a month earlier. Gasoline rose 3%. And that's, you know, pretty much expenses for shelter climbed 0.3%. Airlines, airfares increased 1.9%. That's the most since June of 2015. Americans paid 0.1% more for new automobiles. Used car prices rose 0.5%, and that's the biggest jump since April of 2015. The only thing that really declined is clothing prices, and that's the second straight drop. And what I mean, you can only have so many sweaters, you can only have so many shoes, you can only have so many pairs of pants.
Hello to Imelda Marcos.
Yes.
You never have too many shoes, Melody.
Yeah, that is.
You have to build a whole warehouse to store your shoes. I don't know when she got to wear any of those shoes, but she had plenty of them. You know, you're talking about prices changing and whatever, and Trump has had a surprising effect just in the last few days because he said the dollar is too strong, meaning it's been too deflated. He wants it inflated, and we saw prices jump for gold and one thing and another like that. If Trump wants inflation,
he's gonna get it.
He must have higher prices for gold.
Mm-hmm.
No one is going to believe. If someone's going to sit back and say, look, the dollar is too strong, it must be weaker. No one is going to believe that the dollar is weaker unless the price of gold goes up. There's a lot of other signs, but the price of gold is the primary indicator of whether the dollar is getting more valuable or less valuable. And my point is, if Trump really thinks the dollar is too strong, it's too deflated, and it needs to be inflated, then Trump must encourage the price of gold to rise. He can't just continue to say, oh, we'll have inflation except for gold. I think he has to. So it's just another sign that the price of gold is going up. In and of itself, that's not necessarily big news or good news. It is good news to this extent. If there's going to be inflation, gold will protect whatever wealth you have stored in gold against inflation. But if the price of gold went from, say, $1,200 an ounce to $2,000 an ounce due to inflation, well, that's psychologically good. We can say, yippee, the price of gold is $2,000. But if it buys the same amount of stuff as it did when it was $1,200, all it's done is protect purchasing power. It hasn't really increased in value. The big implication in the idea that Trump wants the dollar to be inflated, and in my opinion means he has to allow the price of gold to go up, is that once we free gold from the manipulators and perhaps bring gold back into the free market where it's not manipulated and controlled, but the free market sets the price of gold, under those circumstances, we can expect the price of gold to increase more than inflation because it has been suppressed for close to 20 years, right? Held down artificially 15, 20 years. If Trump causes gold to be released into the free market, if that happens, then we're not going to see gold just moving from 1,200 to 2,000, and I'm just pulling the 2,000 number out of the hat. I'm just for the sake of argument, due to inflation. Due to inflation might take it to 2,000, but once gold is freed from manipulation, it might go to 3,000 or 4,000. It will hopefully do better than merely match inflation. It will hopefully break loose and return to a true free market price, which I think would be higher than inflation might drive it. And if that were true, it indicates that there's going to be a significant profit. It won't just protect your currency or your wealth, which is a good thing all by itself, but we may see gold increase faster than inflation, and that's what I'll be watching for, and we'll see. Do you think it'll happen, Melody, or not?
That the price of gold will go higher?
Not just higher because of inflation, but higher because it's been suppressed and maybe it finally gets set loose. Maybe it gets turned loose, and when it's like that beach ball effect where you've been holding that ball under the water all this time, and now you turn it loose, and boom, it pops up above the surface of the water.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it has been suppressed. It's been manipulated. Mm-hmm. And when those forces are gone, certainly we're going to see, you know, the prices of gold and silver certainly outperform any other market class, I believe. But people will be looking for a safe haven when these bonds really begin to unravel, when you have debt that's unable to be sustained, when you have emerging markets, when they can no longer. We talked about that yesterday, when you have, over $4 trillion in these emerging markets. They're not going to be able to sustain. There will be resets. You can call it whatever you want. Defaults, resets. But gold to the moon.
And financial survival to the commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I have a little package here. Of course I do. It's a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle coin. Now, folks, I'm selling this to you today at wholesale. I don't have many of them. We saw the big rise in gold. I had some come in, so we can actually sell them at wholesale prices. And it's going to be included with American Gold Eagles, 20 of those. And all your shipping costs will be $733. And I don't have many of these packages. I mean, I have Silver Eagles 2017s, as many as you want. If you want to purchase them in a separate order, I get as many as, you know, if you want, you know, a million of them, I have them. If you want the 1/4 ounce gold eagle at the special price with the 1 ounce American Silver Eagles, that package is limited. I think I have 10 or 15 of them at that price. So this all includes your shipping costs, all of your insurance costs for 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagles, 20 1 ounce Silver Eagles, and these are 2017s, includes your shipping costs for $733. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com and sign up for a weekly newsletter.
All right, Melody. Sounds good.
Yesterday, I think everybody knows that GM announced plans to invest at least $1 billion in U.S. factories and committed to creating or retaining about 7,000 U.S. jobs in the coming years. It's great. Super. Fantastic. But they have recently announced layoffs at 3 U.S. plants, eliminating 3 shifts, about 3,300 jobs, because of slowing sales. In 2015, there was a labor deal with the United Auto Workers Union to where GM committed to $1.9 billion in additional investments in U.S. plants as a form of job protection for the union's membership. And even with the recent layoffs, the company has added 25,000 jobs to its U.S. workforce since its 2009 bankruptcy and federal bailout. And this is despite the investments in Mexico and China. I do believe a lot of these multinational corporations, what they do is they image build. They build their image so people buy their products and their stocks. But the announcement yesterday was that they were going to invest at least $1 billion in U.S. factories, saving 7,000 U.S. jobs, creating or retaining. You heard a lot of tweets and so forth. But then today, on Friday, when we have the inauguration, GM is going to have the first layoffs in 6 years, about 1,200 workers in Lordstown, Ohio. They're getting the axe, and there's going to be another 800 in Lansing, Michigan. Both of these key states led to Trump's victory, and GM used to be in the heyday in the late 80s and 90s in Lordstown, employed about 15,000 in the factory. Now it's down to 4,500. Mm-hmm. And after Friday, the factory will employ barely over 3,000 workers, meaning GM will no longer be the top employer in the area. And this is the plant that just produces one car, the Chevy Cruze. It's a small car. It did have a high demand when gas prices were high. But, you know, hey, gas prices dropped. Now everybody wants the gas guzzler trucks. But anyway, these people at this plant get $25 an hour. Some of their employees in Lordstown make about $60,000 a year. And there's people that says, you know, they'll never be able to find another job in the area that make $25 an hour. Other factories in the area pay only $9 to $12 an hour. And I think this is will be an example of how things are confusing, because you hear in one breath that they're committed to creating and retaining, and the next breath they're laying off because of slow demands. You hear where factories in the area, you know, when GM was paying $25 an hour, other factories in the area are only paying $9 to $12 an hour. And I think those will be the new wages when you have these factories, whether they move, they reopen, they will have new wages like $9 and $12 an hour. So,
do you think the people were overpaid when they received $25 an hour? Were they? Is this a function, kind of a leftover from strong unions, where they may have been overpaid at $25 an hour, or was that a fair wage?
You know, I mean, if $25 an hour, this guy was installing brake lines. You know, I when you look at the inflation, and I mean, it's hard to make a living on $25 an hour.
I understand.
You can't. $9 to $12 is almost impossible. So,
well, you
say,
have to have, wife has to be working if you have a family. I mean,
absolutely.
Or you have to be sharing a house with your parents or someone. I mean, you've got to make ends. $9 to $12 an hour.
But the point,
I mean, good God.
Yeah, really. Again, but this is another example of what our monetary policy with the fiat currency has done to wages. And that's what you track it to.
And it's going to keep on doing it.
And it's going to keep on doing it.
Trump may be able to keep jobs in this country. He may be able to bring some jobs back in this country. But I wonder if he can bring back wages in this country. You know, GM, it may be, all right, they're going to lay off the people at one factory. But they may be hiring at another factory, but at half the wage they're paying at the first factory.
Yeah.
Well, the number of jobs may be increasing, but what's happening to the take-home pay? And this is not an easy thing to deal with. Even with the $25 an hour, that probably reflects, that's probably, or it's perhaps tolerable from the GM's perspective. If they've installed, since they started the $25 an hour, they've laid off, from your report, they'd laid off thousands of people. It means they've added automation, they've added robots, they've added whatever, but one man ultimately can do more than used to be the case, and therefore they can afford to pay him $25, maybe. But just the same,
this is going to be
a terrible situation for a lot of people. In fact, I've got a report down here that goes along with this from Technocracy News. And the headline is 47% of jobs will disappear within 25 years. And I am skeptical that this is going to take that this is going to be a 25-year process. But they are predicting that 47% of all jobs will disappear within 25 years. I wouldn't be surprised if it was within 10 or 15 years. I don't think it's going to take 25. But nevertheless, this is the report. Trump campaign ran on bringing jobs back to American shores, although mechanization has been the biggest reason for manufacturing's jobs disappearances. Similar losses have led to populist movements in several other countries. And again, someone from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, Art Bilger, venture capitalist, board member of the business school, all the developed nations on earth will see. And this is not just the United States. This is a global phenomenon. job loss rates of up to 47% in the next 25 years. No government is prepared, according to The Economist, the magazine The Economist. These include blue-collar and white-collar jobs. So far, the loss has been restricted to the blue-collar variety, particularly in manufacturing, but that's changing. You know, there's a bunch of things. Most lawyers, for example, you would think that law is something where you could not automate and install artificial intelligence, but I think there's no question that it's ripe for artificial intelligence, because most of litigation is settled out of court. If you can just, the lawyers, you come in and say, here's my gripe, I have a complaint, I had somebody hit me when I was driving or whatever, and I need $500,000, and the other guy says it's not my fault, and even if it is, I don't owe more than $5,000. This is the sort of thing that can be fed into a computer. Then the computer can spit out an answer without expensive litigation costs, and just say, look, you're not entitled to $500,000, you're entitled to $15,000. I mean, it could happen, and lawyers could be replaced by robots, huh? Which is, if they can replace lawyers with robots, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to think highly of the robots, of course. Yeah, those robots aren't so bad after all. But just the same, if you can replace lawyers, you can replace just about anybody. Huh? So 47% of all jobs globally. And what is that going to mean? It's going to mean political instability will be the norm over in the next decade, 20 years, because people are going to be put out of jobs. We may be able to deal with this problem in this country. We may be able to create some sort of a universal minimum standard of living that people can get by on, even if they don't have jobs. We can pull that off, probably, maybe, right? But there are going to be other countries in the world that are overpopulated, and there's nothing they can do with this, and these people are going to be left to starve that don't have jobs. 47% of the world's jobs will disappear within 25 years, and I'd guess it's faster than that. These people are going to starve to death, or they're going to take to the streets and riot, revolt. I mean, it'll be like the Arab Spring all over again, but on a more global basis. What do you do? I think one of the things that is at least a tempting idea, and a lot of people will reject it, is maybe you go back to Fortress America, and you build your walls and you say, okay, we're going to take care of ours. And what happens, I'm sorry about what's happening in India or China or Africa, that's too bad, but we're going to take care of ours. We're going to protect our hatch, all right? And if the rest of the world wants to go to wherever, well, I'm sorry about that, but it's not our problem. They're not coming here. We're going to protect ours, and we're going to provide for our own and go from there.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It may not be the right idea, but I'm going to guarantee you it will be a popular idea over the course of the next decade.
I woke up last night about 3:30, couldn't sleep, so I turned on, CNBC, and they had Davos, and there was a meeting or a conference, and it had Christine Lagarde. There was several up on stage, the ones I remember, Christine Lagarde. It had Ray Dalio on there, Larry Summers on there, and all their discussion, they're just so arrogant. It just irritated me. But the discussion was how to save globalism, how to save and what to do to fight this wave of populism, nationalism that we're experiencing in England, in the U.S., and of course now we have the elections in France, Italy, and also Germany coming up. So it's to hear these people talk, and they talk about we need to bring down the trickle down, the money has to filter down to. I'm thinking, who in the heck do these people think they are? And when you talk about if you believe that they're going to sit quietly by while they lose their imprint on what they have created, you're sadly mistaken. And it was, even Biden was over there with his speech. I read bits and pieces of it. It is shocking it isn't shocking, but yet again it is, because he's talking about the global world order. Even Comcast runs a commercial about global citizens. We are global citizens. Like, it's just complete insanity.
Well, it's unconstitutional, and it's treason, because I guarantee you there's no proviso.
Now, I get that, but it's regardless of what's going on. But to hear these people, and they want to talk about what they can do, you know, to make the little minions, the little peons, mm-hmm. feel better, and
not actually
and
be
the middle
better.
Class.
We don't want them to actually be better, meaning we don't want them to actually have any more money, but we want them to feel good about their poverty or whatever they're into.
We
want
to help
we keep
the
as
middle
much money
class.
As we can for ourselves.
We've just destroyed the middle class. Now we want to help them. And uh-huh. it was just, needless to say, I couldn't get back to sleep. But this is where we are.
Yeah, I know.
And it is a fight. And I do believe they people say, and I think we've talked about it, where there's some people who don't believe that, you know, these are just vacation times for the elite and so forth. It might be when things are going well for them, but when things are not going well for them, they are there and they are serious and they are making plans. When you have the Chinese president, the first time ever showing up in Davos, with a delegation of, 80-some, the largest ever. They're in there fighting for their trade. They're in there fighting for to keep what they have.
Yeah.
And
which tells us that the whole world is under great financial pressure right now.
Absolutely.
People are starving. People are on the brink in different countries. It has to be recognized. It's not talked about a great deal, but people are under so much pressure that it's only a matter of time before different nations are going to explode into civil war, revolution, violence, instability, chaos, the rest of it. I mean, they've got trouble right now, and everybody knows it, and most of these people, the guy running China, fine. What's the biggest threat to the government of China? And it is the Chinese people. Same thing in our country.
I don't
biggest believe threat
that.
To the government of the
it
United
is not
States.
The Chinese people.
It is oh,
not
yeah, it
the
is.
Chinese.
They'll
no,
riot
isn't.
If they riot. The government of China is in
Chinese,
big trouble.
And they'll take care of them too. Yeah. No, it's a communist country, and we know what communists do. So, no. But in other places, and don't think that, when we do talk about martial laws and we do talk about various things that could happen. You know what? It's
there's
a very
could
dangerous
happen.
World.
We could have some more commercials, Melody.
Yes, we could.
That could happen too. They talk about that at Davos. We'll find out when we return to Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederson, and we'll be Cedarstrom, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners we got this great little package, a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle, along with 20 1-ounce Silver Eagles. And those are certainly the 2017s, the brand new Silver Eagles. It includes your shipping and your insurance for $733. But you must give us a call. We're limited supply on these. At this price, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
We're talking about the potential for chaos in the world. It seems to be growing. And the idea that if 47% of the jobs globally are going to disappear, there's trouble coming, and it's big trouble. And it may be bigger in other countries than it is here. It may be moderate in this country compared to other places, but still it will have a profound effect. Now, when we talk about chaos, this to me is a headline. This is from Prophecy Newswatch, and the headline itself tells us that something strange is happening in the world. And the headline is Bikers for Trump versus Anarchists. Stage is set for confrontation at inauguration. Now think about this. We got Bikers for Trump. I don't know that these are Hell's Angels, but these are bikers, and there's going to be a bunch of them, apparently. They're going to Washington, D.C. in favor of President-elect Trump. How strange is that? Isn't that a little bit peculiar? And they're fighting the anarchists, and the anarchists are allegedly going to Washington, D.C. to try to disrupt the inauguration as much as they can. The article says the stage is set for a potentially very ugly confrontation between radical leftist protesters on one side and law enforcement authorities and Trump supporters on the other side. Here we have law enforcement authorities are apparently on the same side as the bikers. What's happening to this world? There's nothing we can count on anymore. It's being estimated that hundreds of thousands of supporters will arrive in D.C. to celebrate the inauguration of Donald Trump. But it is also estimated that hundreds of thousands of people will be coming to D.C. specifically to protest the inauguration of Trump. These protesters plan to set up blockades, disrupt inaugural balls, and generally cause as much chaos as they possibly can. In fact, spokesperson for Disrupt, for hashtag Disrupt J20, says, apparently a figure, significant figure in the protest movement, says that the goal of his organization is for Trump to be inaugurated amid complete chaos. All right, chaos. All right, something, this is nuts, this is crazy, and it's happening right here in this country. I guarantee you there's crazy things. There are things that are crazier that are happening in India, for example, and maybe China before this is all over, and Africa, and God knows where else. The whole world is quivering like one of those glasses in the old Memorex commercial where somebody hits high C and the glass all of a sudden fractures and shatters. The world is a lot like that metaphor, at least at the moment. And what do you think is going to happen on Friday, Melody? Are we really going to see some sort of a confrontation at the inauguration, or is this just a bunch of hype?
I'm not saying there won't be protesters who try. I think, and perhaps if you have protesters who run into the bikers and so forth, sure, you could have some sort of confrontation. But no, I don't believe they will be able to disrupt the balls. I don't believe they will disrupt the actual, the inauguration of Donald Trump, because I believe I believe there will be so much security. They have it all scoped out already. So for these people to get close enough to do any damage to the inauguration is probably, zilch. But to say there isn't, if some disruptor doesn't come across the biker in a back alley after having, a couple of cases of beer, mm-hmm. perhaps
there'll be incidents, but I don't think there's going to be. No. I don't think we're going to see masses of people pushing and shoving in the streets. I don't expect that. There'll be some incidents. Here's an article from the Federalist Papers,
they're already screening people coming there for the.
I understand.
They probably.
I don't think you could get into Washington with a nail clipper.
No.
Washington D.C. That's it. You got a nail clipper in his pocket. Jail him or whatever, at least temporary custody. Here's something from the Federalist Papers on the same subject, and the headline is "People Being Paid Huge Amounts to Protest Trump." Leftist agitators in more than 20 cities are being offered $2,500 to protest, demonstrate, and cause mayhem at Donald Trump's inauguration. A San Francisco company calls itself the largest private grassroots support organization in the United States placed identical ads on January 12th on the site Backpage.com. Demand Protest, that's the name of the organization, Demand Protest, said they were seeking operatives. All right. Now, I don't know. This is apparently a credible source. $2,500 to go act out? I mean, there's something wrong with this. You want to protest. You want to be paid $2,500 to go protest? Maybe you don't even. I don't even know. There'd be people who don't even know who's being nominated for the president. I don't know who's being nominated. All I know is $2,500. My question in all of this is: this cash or check? There's going to be a lot. Assuming this is a true story, I don't know how big this is, but there is something bizarre. Paying $2,500 a piece for demonstrators to protest Trump's inauguration?
Is it really true, though, Al?
I don't know. It comes from an outfit called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. It's been repeated in other sources. Is it news? Is it fake news? I don't really know. I think it's hype. I think there's some truth to it.
There's been reports
it's bizarre.
That it's
what do you make of it?
There's been reports that it's been a hoax. That this is a hoax. However, what I do believe. I do believe we've seen it in Ferguson. We've seen it in, some of these groups. And this might be a takeoff from Black Lives Matter, which we know is, Soros funnels money into it and so forth. And, that's what they do best. They demonstrate and disrupt. So this might be a takeoff on that. But, there's been also reports saying this is a hoax. I hope it's a hoax. And if it isn't a hoax, then why aren't they being stopped? And they should be stopped.
Oh, I know. They should be hunted down. I mean, you can't just look, if you want to protest, protest. But if you want to encourage other people who don't really care about the issue, but say, I'll give you $2,500 to protest and go make trouble. I mean, you are fomenting a problem that you should be held accountable for. You can't just sit there, I have a lot of money, so I can afford to pay these idiots to go out and protest and make trouble.
I think Snopes...
this is soliciting violence or whatever. I mean, this is bizarre.
I think, what is it, Snopes said that it wasn't real.
It might not be.
I don't know. But, it's just the fact of the matter, though. It's something like this, whether they do or whether they are not, pay people just the fact that there's a website supposedly that is claiming to do this.
Yeah, I know.
Puts a lot of weird ideas into people's heads.
Well, there's already so many weird ideas. What is too weird to be believed anymore?
People need to. Calm down, and certainly
there was a time in this country where you could...
They should shut up the people in Hollywood, you know, from... You know, and even the... There's discussions of Lady Gaga during the... What's that football game?
What? Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl. I was thinking of the World Series. The Super Bowl, that she's performing. They've actually said that she shouldn't say anything about Trump. That she shouldn't make her appearance during the halftime political. The NFL comes out and says, well, you know what? You know, these people need to shut, you know, everybody has a right to say what they want, but not when you're doing a performance. It's, you know, it's
maybe
just
you do and maybe
crazy.
You don't, but I mean, you have to take certain financial consequences if you want to say things that are stupid while you're performing. Well, you're going to lose your audience. I mean, if you're really stupid and it's contrary, you're going to lose part of your audience. I don't know. It's one of those things, but what I'm, you know, there was a time when there was enough conformity in this country, and people were they complained about it. You go back in the 50s and the 60s, there was a lot of conformity. People dressed the same and had their hair cut the same and the rest of that sort of thing. But you could, and it may have been manipulated and controlled, and I'm not even saying it was a good thing, but it was a reassuring thing. And right now, back then, you could not have imagined anybody paying $20 for somebody to go out and demonstrate. That would be just inconceivable. It was just too far. Now, what is too radical? What is too crazy to be believed? And I don't know, and I doubt that many of you know either. And that's part of the problem. There is a world that is, we're trying to discern what is true, what is false, what is too crazy. That can't be true. That's crazy. That can't possibly be true. Yeah, it can. I mean, you know, again, I've talked to Melody in the past, you know, and privately and the rest of it. If I could have written a novel 10 years ago, it's about this black guy who gets elected president. He's actually born in Kenya, and he gets elected president, and he's gay, and he's a Muslim, and he's president of the United States. And I take my novel, and I go to all the publishers in New York City or wherever, and they all laugh me out. They say, are you crazy? Gonna have a black president who's a Muslim, maybe a homosexual, and born in Kenya, for God's sake? It's insane. It can't possibly be. It makes Star Wars look credible. It looks like Star Wars is real, and this is just not. No, it's happened. It's happened. And everybody just, nothing is too bizarre anymore. So, I don't know, Melody. It's in the midst of that kind of chaos, intellectual chaos, where it's hard to even discern what's true, what's false. You got to keep your head screwed on straight, and you've got to try to react to things in a way that is sensible, and you have to try, I think this is advice for everyone, especially me, that you have to try to avoid succumbing to the hyperbole and the stupidity, and, you know, and it's not easily done.
And again, you know, we need proof. There's a lot of things out there that many times you need proof. And, you know, sometimes you can, you know, logic, you know that has a part of it. But I research a lot in order to, when I do and what I want to talk about and so forth, it's usually always researched and to whether it's true or not. And it is difficult out there. There's a, you know, particularly a lot of these stories and so forth are created in order to sell a product.
You know, I don't even know what they're created to sell. You know, it would be one thing sometimes if you read this and say, oh, they're just trying to sell more Cadillacs. Okay, I get that. They're trying to sell more Cadillacs. I see some of this stuff. I don't even know what they're trying to sell. All right, they're trying to do something. What is it? Just made you look, da 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 da.
They're looking for their 10 minutes of fame. Or 15
if you even get
fame,
that.
If you get that. They're willing. I mean, you know
minutes.
What it is, Al? A lot of it is how many hits
you're
going to get.
I know.
I mean, that's what drives a lot of this, is to see how many hits, see how famous you can be. Can you get a million hits and become famous?
I know.
Will they parade your little video on,
you have your moment of fame and then your history and you're done. Then what? I don't know. It's not enough that people, 47% will be out of jobs. 47% will be out of Facebook. Then what, Melody? What happens then if we can't post on Facebook and go viral? A lot of people are going to be upset, disappointed. The world is becoming bizarre, and again, to me, this is just, you look at it, you see these things, it suggests to me that a sensible plan is to prepare yourself. You know, again, it may be that Memorex glass, maybe that thing's getting ready to shatter. Is it politics or is it Memorex? Is it news or is it fake news? Is it, you know...
What I do know is real, Al, is gold and silver.
Well, I understand.
You can take every phony thing out of this world. You can take every fiat dollar that you've collected in your savings account, and you're only going to lose more and more against gold. Gold is going to protect your purchasing power. That is real. And why do you think the elite hate gold? Because it is real.
And what else is the problem with that? They can't spin it out of thin air. All right, these fiat dollars ultimately you can create credit out of thin air. It's nothing but a promise to pay. That's what credit is. That's what debt is, a promise to pay, the flip side of credit. All right, just a promise to pay. I promise to pay $100 quadrillion. I promise. Scout's honor. Well, what's it worth? It's nothing but a promise. That's what all these debt instruments are. They are nothing but promises. And if you can get people to believe your promise, you know, you can get rich. But I'm talking, when we're talking about gold or silver, we're talking about assets which are not promises. They are actually there or they are actually not there. And the world, I think, is going to go back to that. We're going to run out of promises, they're going to be defeated, and we're going to go back to a kind of tangible reality where a lot of people are going to find the transition unpleasant. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening to Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.